great amount of hearing of Srila Prabhupada kirtan. There was non-stop kirtan in the apartment where he was staying, right across the street. And practically for the past 8 days, his only sustenance has been Ganga gel supplied by his son and family. And so in the midst of hearing the holy name, he opened his eyes wide and left his body. So we hear from the Bhagavad Gita that if you leave the body in the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name, you are guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. So it is a glorious day for Vidura Dasmita. All glories, all success, and I promised the family that I would dedicate tonight's class in his honor. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So everyone, please repeat after me. All glories, to Vidura Dasmeta, for he has achieved shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And you don't have to repeat this, but we should all be that fortunate. So we finished the Bhagavad Gita Mahayagya earlier this month. So that means it is time for me to start over and review Bhagavad Gita, so that by the time the Bhagavad Gita Yagya happens next year, I will be ready. So if you want to follow along, we have books on the shelf. I see somebody has replenished the shelf profusely. We're going to start with chapter 1. And I see some of you are watching online. How does it look? Does it look good? Good. Very good. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Are you Leslie? Haribo. Good to see you. All right, so we're starting with chapter 1, which has 46 verses. Prabhupada entitles it, Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra. So we're going to chant each verse and each translation. And if I am so inspired, I will comment as we go along. We're going to do the whole chapter. If you are ready to proceed, say, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, in verses 1 through 6, I give the subtitle, Assessment of the Pandavas by Duryodhana. So let's do the Sanskrit together. Dhritarashtra uvacha dharmakshetre kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsava mamaka pandavaschaiva kim akuravata sanjaya. And if you like, you can read the translation out loud along with me. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? So Dhritarashtra is blind, and he is situated some distance away from the battle, in a camp, in a tent, and his secretary, Sanjaya, has what is called mystic television, that even though he is away from the battle, as he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, by the mercy of his guru, Vyas, he is able to see what is going on, and he is relating this to his master Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya is his secretary, servant. So this is the opening of this Bhagavad Gita. Dhritarashtra wants to know what is happening, because this is day one of the battle. The battle would last 18 days, as there are 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. The battle would last 18 days. So let's now go to verse number 2. Together. Sanjaya uvacha dristvatu pandavanikam vyudhang duryodhanastada acharyam upasangamya raja vachanam abravit. Sanjaya said, O king, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhan went to his teacher and spoke the following words. So the sons of Pandu are known as Pancha Pandava, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjuna, and the two twins, Nakul and Sahadev. They are the five Pandavas. King Duryodhana is Dhritarashtra's son. Dhritarashtra has 100 sons, and Duryodhan is his chief son. And throughout the whole history, Dhritarashtra has wanted his son to be the emperor. And this whole battle of Kurukshetra is to determine who would rule the world. According to legal and religious rites, Yudhishthir, the head of the Pandavas, should be the ruler. But Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan have been intriguing, plotting, politicizing, and very sinfully usurping. So now it has come to the no more discussion, no more negotiation, as we say in the mafia, we go to the mattress. We fight. So this is the starting opening scene. Now we go to verse number 3. Pasyaitang Pandu Putranam Acharya Mahating Chamum Vyudhang Drupada Putrena Tavashishyena Dimata. King Duryodhan said, O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupad. So the teacher here is a Brahman, and he is expert in military science. And he has given military training to members of both sides. So he says here, almost sarcastically, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple. So Duryodhan is well aware of diplomacy. Let's go now to verse number 4. Atrashura Maheshvasa Bhimarjuna Samayudhi Yuyudano Viraktascha Drupadascha Maharata. Here in this army are many heroic bowmen, equal in fighting to Bhim and Arjuna, great fighters like Yuyudhana, Virata, and Drupad. Dristaketuscha Kitana Kashirajascha Viryavan Purujit Kuntibhojascha Shaivyascha Narapungava. There are also great, heroic, powerful fighters like Dhristaketu, Chekitana, Kashiraj, Purujit, Kuntibhoja, and Shaibya. Yudhamanyuscha Vikranta, Utamaujascha Viryavan, Saubhadra Draupadeyascha, Sarava Eva Maharata. There are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamauja, the son of Subhadra, and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. So now we go to the next section. This is verses 7 through 13. Duryodhan's assessment of the Kurus. He has just assessed the opposite party. Now he's going to compare that to his own. Because when you fight a battle, it behooves you to know who your enemy is and also what are your strengths. That way you can enter into combat fully prepared. Verse number 7. Asmakang ta vasishtaye tani voda dvijotama nayaka mama sanyasya sangyartang tan bravimite. But for your information, O best of the Brahmins, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samatinjaya Ashvatama Vikarnascha Saumadattisthataivacha. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatama, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. So Bhishma, he is considered the great grandfather of both sides. And it is curious that he is called grandfather because he never married and he never had any children. And that is why he got the name Bhishma, because for the benefit of his father, who wanted to marry a very special woman, Bhishma took a vow that he would never marry throughout his life. And for that great vow, he was blessed that, Bhishma, you will die only when you want to die. And at the end of this battle of Kurukshetra, there is Bhishma. His body is plummeted with arrows. He's lying on a bed of arrows, but he has not died. He's waiting, and as it turns out, Krishna, Yudhisthira, and others come to see Bhishma on his deathbed of arrows, and Krishna is there at Bhishma's feet. And this is when Bhishma decides, now I will give up. So he's looking at Krishna. Krishna is standing at his feet. Bhishma offers beautiful prayers to Krishna. He gives up his body in the presence of Krishna. Just as my good friend Vidura gave up his body today in the temple dham, surrounded by many devotees, loudly chanting the holy name. Everybody. Now, the next name, Karna. Karna is the half-brother of the Pandavas. The Pandavas' mother is the great exalted Kunti. And Kunti, before her marriage, once satisfied a powerful mystic sage by her service. And that sage gave her a special mantra. And with that mantra, she could call any demigod. So one day, just to see, what is this mantra? It's like you may have gotten some Christmas presents. So maybe, what is this present somebody gave? So she said, okay, let me see what is this mantra. So she chanted this mantra and the sun god appeared before her. And the sun god wanted to give her a son. But she's not married. That's against the rules. So the sun god said, no problem. You will give birth to a son, but you will remain virgin. Pretty good. So the Christians aren't the only one with a virgin birth. They don't have a monopoly. Sorry. So this son was born through her ear. Therefore, he was given the name Karna, because the word Karna means ear. But she's not married. She can't keep the son. She puts the baby in a basket and floats it down the river. Very similar to a Bible story, Moses. That son later on takes the other side against the Pandavas, even though he's their half-brother. And then we have Ashwatthama. So the military best of the Brahmins that Duryodhana is speaking to, his son is this Ashwatthama. And he is quite a character, because later on, he causes a big problem. But Krishna, as always, saves the day. All right, let's continue. Text number 9. Anye cha bahava shura mad arate chakya jivita nana shastra praharanna sarva yuddha visharada. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons, and all are experienced in military science. So the teacher, the military teacher, his name is Dronacharya. Now it's interesting here that Duryodhan says, are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. Because in these olden times, 5,000 years ago, these Kshatriya warriors lived by rigid rules and codes. And one of which is, if we go to battle, either you win or you die. No coming back. You fight to death. So either you win or you're killed. So he doesn't know it, but he's actually predicting, yes. Because later on in chapter 11, Krishna shows Arjuna, everybody on both sides is going to be slain. The only ones remaining will be the five Pandavas. Arjuna sees that when Krishna shows the universal form, tells him, they're all going to die except for you and your brothers. Let's continue. Aparyaptang tadasmakang balang bhishma birakshitam. Paryaptang vididang detejang balang bhima birakshitam. Our strength is immeasurable, and we are perfectly protected by Grandfather Bhishma. Yes, because Bhishma is called a Maharatha. He's so powerful, he alone can kill hundreds of men. That's how powerful he is. Maharatha. Meaning, single-handedly, he can defeat so many others. He's that powerful. Whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. Ayaneshu tasharveshu yata bhagam vivastita bhishmam eva virakshantu bhavanta sarava evahi. So now, Duryodhana is talking to all his men. All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma because he's old now. As you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Tasya sanjanayan harshang kuru vridha pitamaha singanadang vinadyochai shankang dadma pratapavan. Sanjaya said, then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. So, you have heard the conch shell before arti after arti. But this conch shell is a little different. It sounds like a lion. So this is not your ordinary conch shell. So now we go to the next section. The Pandavas and Krishna blow their conch shells. Text 13. Tata shankascha baryascha panavanaka gomuka sahasaidya bahayanta sashabdas tumalo bhavat. After that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. Tatak shvetaya hayay yukte mahati sandane stajau madhava pandavas chaiva dibyau shankau pradadmatu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conch shells. So, Bhishma and their side, it wasn't mentioned transcendental conch shells. But Krishna and Arjuna, their conch shells are transcendental. Krishna got his conch shell previously when he was in the school, when he was in his teenage years, he was in a school of Sandipani Muni, and he learned everything in 64 days. He would learn something in the day, and by evening he had mastered it. So for 64 days he learned everything in school, and the system is that when you learn from a teacher, the student gives a offering because the teachers were not paid. So the disciples would give what is called dakshina, some kind of remuneration. But Sandipani Muni's wife made a consultation with her husband saying, and these two boys, Krishna and Bob, they're not ordinary. So you should ask something special. So the request was that Sandipani Muni and his wife, their young son, had died in the ocean. So the request was Krishna and Balaram should find their dead son and bring him back. So Krishna, being an obedient student, immediately went to the ocean and requested the ocean deity, where is my guru's son? And the ocean personified said, a demon named Panchajanya, he took that son. So Krishna dove into the ocean, and this demon was taking the form of a conch shell. So immediately Krishna dove into the ocean and killed that demon. But the sun wasn't there. So Krishna took the dead body of that demon in the form of a conch shell, and that became his transcendental conch shell, Panchajanya. So Krishna told Balaram, we have killed this demon needlessly. Then Krishna said, I know where to go. So they went to the abode of Yamaraj, the lord of death, and there was the Brahmin's son. And Yamaraj was waiting for this opportunity. And so he worshipped Krishna, his lord and master, and said, yes, here is your guru son, take. So then Krishna and Balaram took that son and gave it back to his gurus, to his guru and his wife. And they were so happy that they had gotten their son back. So Sandipani Muni blessed Krishna, saying, you are so great that whatever you speak will be as eternally true as the Vedas themselves. That's why we study Bhagavad Gita. Because this Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna has spoken. And this Guru blessed him that whatever you speak, that will remain eternal as the Vedas. So this Bhagavad Gita is eternal. Let us continue. Text number 15. Pancha janayang hrishikesho devadattang dananjaya paundrang dadmao mahashankang bhimakarama vrakodara. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta. And Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Paundra. Yes, Bhima, the voracious eater. So I am a disciple of Bhima. Because since I joined this movement, I also am a voracious eater of Krishna Prasad. Text number 16. Ananta Vijayang Raja Kuntiputra Yudhishthira Nakula Sahadevascha Sugosha Manipushpaka Kashyascha Parama Ishu Asa Shikandicha Maharata Dristyadyumna Viratascha Satyaki Chaparajita Drupado Draupadeyascha Sarvascha Prativipate Savadrascha Mahabahu Shankandadmu Pritak Pritak. King Yudhishthir, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell, the Ananta Vijay, and Nakul and Sahadev blew the Sugosh and Manipushpaka. The great archer, the king of Kashi, the great fighter Shikandi, Drishyadumna, Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki, Drupad, the sons of Draupadi, and the others, O king, such as the mighty-armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conch shells. So this mighty-armed son of Subhadra, that is Arjuna's son, because Arjuna has several wives, one of which is this Subhadra that's on our altar. And there's a nice story in Krishna book how Arjuna married Subhadra because Balaram, who is also on the altar, he is Subhadra's older brother. And don't ask me why, but he wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhan. Yes, the same Duryodhan who they are now going to kill. But when Arjuna saw Subhadra, he fell in love. And he couldn't get her out of his mind. And so he made a plan. He went to visit Subhadra disguised as a sannyasi. And Balaram, I know it's hard to believe, but Balaram did not detect that it was Arjuna. And while this sannyasi was eating, he was making goo-goo eyes at Subhadra. And she was also making eyes at Arjuna. And Arjuna very tactfully kidnapped Subhadra. And Balaram became very angry at Arjuna. But who do you think stepped in? Krishna. Krishna fell at Balaram's feet and said, "They're in love. Let it go." So Arjuna successfully kidnapped Subhadra. And their son is on this battlefield. Text number 19. Sagosho dhatarastranang hridayani vyadarayat nabascha prativing chaiva tumalo vyanudadayan. The blowing, and that son's name is Abhimanyu. And his son later on becomes the great Maharaj Parikshit, who becomes famous as the person to whom the Srimad Bhagavatam is first spoken. So there's a lot of history here. The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So it was not mentioned that when Bhishma and they blew their conch shells, it didn't break the hearts of the Pandavas. But when the Pandavas blew their conch shells, it shattered the hearts of Duryodhana and the others, signifying, "You guys are not going to win. You're going down." So now we go to the next section. Arjuna surveys the scene, verses 20 to 26. Ata vyavastitan drisva dhartarashtran kapidvaja parvitte shastra sampate dhano udyamya pandava rishikesham tada vakyam idam aha mahipate. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. So it is significant that on Arjuna's flag, Hanuman, because Hanuman, the great, great devotee, he fought in a very great war when Lord Ram was fighting against Ravan. So Hanuman played a very instrumental part in Ram's victory. So it is good that Arjuna has on his flag the emblem of Hanuman, because Ram is now driving Arjuna's chariot. His name is Krishna. O king, after looking after the sons of Dhritarashtra, drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Arjuna uvacha senayor uvayor madye ratang stapaya me chutta yavad etan rikshe hung yodu kaman avastitan karamaya sahayo davyam asmin ranasamudyame. Arjuna said, "O infallible one," so that is, Krishna has many, many, many names. One of them is Achyuta. Everyone say? Achyuta. Achyuta means Krishna never fails. Especially Krishna never fails when it comes to protecting his devotees. So as devotees, this is good news for us. That if we remain devotees, Krishna will never fail us. His name is Achyuta. Everyone say? And therefore, whenever you sneeze, you should say, Achyuta! And this way, you get the transcendental benefit of vibrating Krishna's name and also sneezing. O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Yotsyamana navekshe hung ya ete tra samagata datarastrasya dur buddhair yudde priya chakirshava. Let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. So Arjuna is calling Duryodhana evil-minded. And that is because throughout his life, Duryodhana did many, many bad things. Or as a previous president once said, evildoers. So this Duryodhana was an evildoer. And here Arjuna is saying, the evil-minded son. Sanjaya uvacha evang ukto rishikesho gudakeshena bharata senayor ubhayor madye stapayitva rotottamam. Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharata, so that's his boss, Dhritarashtra. Having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. So even though Krishna is God, Krishna has agreed to be Arjuna's chauffeur. So just see, our conception of God is quite unique. Generally, God is the Lord and Master. But the Lord and Master, out of love, agrees to become the servant of his devotee. This is only possible when there is this concept of bhakti. The concept of bhakti is that the Lord agrees to have a relationship of love with another devotee. It is only because Arjuna has this bhakti relationship that the omnipotent God has agreed to be his chariot driver. Text number 125. Bhishmadrona pramukata sarveshangja mahishitam uvacha paratapashyaitan samavetan kuruniti. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona, and all the other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, just behold, Bharata, all the Kurus assembled here. So Bharata, Arjuna is, Krishna is addressing Arjuna, signifying his relationship from his mother's side. His mother's name was Kunti or Pritha. So Arjuna many times is addressed not according to his father, but according to his mother. Why? Because his mother was a great devotee of Krishna. That's why. His mother, Kunti Pritha, was great, great, even though she's Krishna's aunt, she's the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. She is a great self-realized devotee. Let us continue. Tatra pasyat stitan parata patrin ata pita mahan acharyan matulan bratrin putran thautran sakings tata svasuran suridas jaiva senayor ubayor api There Arjuna could see, within the midst of the armies of both parties, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, and also his fathers-in-law and well-wishers. So this is a problem. This is a fratricidal war, not so easy. Arjuna now has to kill his teacher. He has to kill his own relatives, the very people that he has grown. At this stage, Arjuna is over 120 years old. So all these people that he has to kill, he has spent a lifetime. Think about it. If tomorrow you wake up and you're told, now you have to kill your family, your friends, not so easy. Especially, yeah, if you're a demon, it would be easy. But Arjuna's not a demon. He's a nice guy. He's a devotee. He has heart. He has culture. This is very difficult for him to kill. So let's look now at the next section. Arjuna's reasons not to fight, part one. Tan samiksya sakaunteya sarvan bandhun avastitan kripaya paraya vishto vishidang idam abravit. When the son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus. If Arjuna was a demon, there'd be no compassion. For instance, let's remember my favorite demon, Kamsa. Kamsa is driving the chariot on the day of his sister's marriage. While he's driving the chariot, he hears the voice.
Kamsa, you fool! The eighth son of your sister will kill you!
There's no compassion. He lets go of the reins of the horse, grabs his sister by the hair. The other hand, he has the sword. He's going to kill her within 1 second. There's no compassion for his sister. Why? Because he's a demon. Demons have no compassion. What, you're my enemy? Boom! Finish. End of discussion. But Arjuna, devotee, he has to kill his relatives. Oh, he becomes compassionate. 128. Arjuna. Uvacha. Drishtvemang svajanang krishna. Yuyutsung samupastitam. Sidanti mamagatrani. Mukangcha parishashyati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. So these are bodily indications that he is in a very calamitous situation. Vepatuscha shirire me ramaharshascha jayate Gandivang sangsrate hastat tvakchaiva parityate. My whole body is trembling. My hair is standing on end. My bow, Gandiva, is slipping from my hand. And my skin is burning. Na chakshaknom yavastatung brahmativa chamemana nimatani chapasyami viparitani keshava. I am not able to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself, and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Because Krishna once killed a demon named Keshi. When he was in Vrindavan, Kamsa sent a horse demon. That horse's name was Keshi. So, how did Krishna kill this demon? Krishna knew the way to control the horse is by its mouth. So Krishna took his arm and put it in the horse's mouth. But when Krishna put his arm in the horse's mouth, he didn't taste Krishna prasad. The horse felt like it was a hot iron rod, and the horse died from Krishna's powerful arm and dropped dead. On the other hand, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis the night of the rasa dance, they smelled Krishna's arm, and it was very nice, very aromatic. So for devotees, Krishna's arm is very sweet, but for demons, Krishna's arm means death. Natre shreyo napasyami hatvasva janam ahave nakangshe vijayang Krishna natcharajang suganicha. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. King no rajena govinda, king bhogar jivitenava, yesham arte kangshitang no rajyang bhoga sukanicha, ta ime vastita yudhe, pranangs chakta dananicha, acharya pitara putras, tatai vacha pitamaha, matula svasura pautra, shaila sambandinas tata, eta nahantum ichchami, danopi madusudana, apitrai loki rajasya hetu kingna, mahikute, nihatya datarasrana, kapriti sajjanardana. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudan, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are now standing before me, why should I wish to kill them even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? All right, we're going to have to stop here. So my new schedule is that I will be doing this class every other week. So next week, this class will be done.